Will you open your Bibles up to Luke chapter 24? Luke chapter 24. I am going to be reading from the regular authorized King James Version of the Bible. Our theme is beyond the chaos, there's hope. Beyond the chaos, there's hope. This is what we call the Easter season or Easter Sunday or Resurrection Sunday. And the Easter story has two dramatically different sides. On the one hand, there is Jesus' death, his death on the cross. There could be no resurrection apart from death. The Bible says that Jesus was crucified in weakness. This side is the chaos side. It is the side of defeat. When Jesus hung his head on the cross, Satan and all of his demon hosts rejoiced that the so-called Savior, the so-called Messiah, was killed. This is the chaos side. It is where the disciples were humiliated, their faith was shattered, and their dreams were crushed. Then there's another side, the resurrection, the day that we're celebrating now. The Bible says that Jesus lives by the power of God. This is the victory side. The resurrection is the victory side. It's where Jesus wins over the grave, the flesh, and the devil. This hope side is the side where the followers of Jesus, their confidence were renewed. This is the side where there's a new beginning, new hope, a brighter future. So regardless to whatever situation or condition you find yourself in today, maybe you're on that chaos side. Maybe you're feeling defeat today. Maybe your faith has been shattered. Maybe your dreams have been crushed. The good news is that there is a hope side, and Jesus' resurrection represents the hope side for you. Sandwiched somewhere in between the chaos side and the hope side is disappointment. And that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about how to keep disappointment from derailing you and aborting your destiny. How to keep disappointment from derailing you and keeping you from your destiny. When we talk about the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, there were a lot of disappointed people surrounding that death. Here in Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 19, we have two disciples. They're on the road to Emmaus. Their hearts are heavy, and they are discussing the events that has taken place. The death of Jesus. The Bible said that Jesus comes alongside of them and began to walk with them and ask them a question concerning what they were talking about. And he asked them, why were they so sad? Scripture says their eyes were holding that they didn't recognize him. In verse 18, it says, and one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answering said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted. I want you to listen to the disappointment in their voices. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside this, today is the third day since these things were done. They were disappointed. Look over at Luke chapter 22. You're in the Gospel of Luke. Look at Luke chapter 22. And let's look at another person who was disappointed. His name was Peter. Same scene, same scenario, the death of Jesus Christ. In verse 60, Luke chapter 22, verse 60 says, "And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediate while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice," or three times. "And Peter went out and wept bitterly." Again, Peter is disappointed. I want you to turn over to Matthew chapter 27. Let's look at another person who was disappointed. His name was Judas. Matthew chapter 27. Let's look at another man who was disappointed. How to keep disappointment from derailing you and keep it from hindering your destiny. In Matthew 27, verse 3, it says, "Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned, and that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, What is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself." He was so disappointed that he hanged himself. Let's look at one final person today who was disappointed. Not as obvious as the other people, but I want you to look again at Matthew chapter 27, verse 26. Jesus was also disappointed. In verse 46, it says, "And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Here again, we see another illustration of someone who was disappointed around the death of Jesus Christ, and that was Jesus himself. So when we look back and we're talking about how to keep disappointment from derailing you and aborting your destiny, when we look at back at the two disciples who were on the road to Emmaus, they were disappointed because they believed that Jesus was the Messiah. And they were expecting him to usher in the Messianic kingdom. The Jews in that day were expecting a conquering hero. They were expecting a military and political leader who would free them from the Roman oppression. When we look back at Peter, Peter was disappointed in himself. It is recorded in three different Gospels, Matthew 26, Mark 14, John 13, where Peter boasted to Jesus, declaring that if the other disciples were offended and the other disciples forsook him, he boasted, "I would never forsake you. I would never leave." In fact, he told Jesus to his face, "I would die for you." And here we see him, after having denied the Lord three times, he was disappointed in himself. Now, Judas was also disappointed, and Judas was disappointed because he thought Jesus was going to overthrow the Roman government and give the disciples power and prestige. His vision was of personal prestige, personal power. Judas was a staff member, and he thought being a part of the staff, Jesus' staff, it would bring immediate rewards. So he was disappointed. We never think about Jesus being disappointed because he's the Lord, he's the Messiah. But you have to remember, Jesus was both God and man. Jesus had to experience disappointment for us because disappointment is a part of the human experience. In order to sympathize with us, the Bible says he was touched with the feelings of our infirmities. To be touched with our infirmities, he had to experience the same kind and same quality of disappointment that we experience. So Jesus was disappointed in his family, the fact that they did not believe in him. Jesus was disappointed in his hometown, Nazareth, how they rejected him. Jesus was disappointed in the Garden of Gethsemane. In his deepest time of need, he was disappointed that his disciples couldn't pray with him just 1 hour. He was disappointed in Judas, the fact that Judas would betray him. He was disappointed in Peter, the fact that Peter would deny him. He was disappointed in the disciples because the Bible says at the arrest of Jesus, all the disciples forsook him. Jesus' disappointment climaxed on the cross. When we read the text, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, we don't hear and receive the intensity of the disappointment that he felt. But hanging on that cross, we hear Jesus say, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. The intensity of it, the Bible says that he cried out loud, never had known separation from his father, but carrying our sins and all of our transgressions. The Father separated himself. And Jesus, in his humanity, because he was human, he cried out in disappointment. I understand men because I know what's in them, but I'm so disappointed in you, Father, that you would forsake me also. See, everybody experiences disappointment. So what is disappointment? Disappointment is a feeling of sadness, is a feeling of dissatisfaction that results when your expectations are not realized, your expectations are not met. Disappointment is when things don't turn out the way you thought. They don't turn out the way you planned. They don't turn out the way you desired. You thought the relationship would work, but it didn't work. You thought the marriage would last, but it didn't last. It ended in divorce. You did your best. You lived the best you knew how before your kids, and they didn't turn quite out the way you thought they would. You thought you would get the job, but someone else got it. You put your trust in someone, but they let you down. You had high hopes of going to the prom, but you couldn't find a date. You graduated from college with honors, couldn't find a job. Are you questioning whether, or have questioned whether, being saved and living for God, is it really worth it? And if you've had those questions in your mind, it's because you're experiencing or have experienced disappointment. The four sources, primary sources of disappointment. We're disappointed by people. We believe in people, but the people let us down. Sometimes we're disappointed by our circumstances. Life and our condition are not what we expected. When we consider what might have been, in contrast to what exists in the present, we may experience disappointment. Sometimes we get disappointed in ourselves. We just didn't achieve the way we thought we would achieve. We did not perform the way we thought. We're older now. We thought we'd be farther along than we are right now. Sometimes we are really just disappointed with ourselves, and even though we don't like to admit it, sometimes we get disappointed in God or disappointed with God when God doesn't do what we thought he could. God doesn't do it when we thought he should. God doesn't do it the way we thought he would. So even though we don't like to admit it, sometimes we just really get disappointed with God. Everybody experienced some kind of disappointment. Every person on the planet, because disappointment is a part of the human experience. It's inevitable that somebody is going to disappoint you. It's inevitable that there may be conditions or circumstances that are disappointing to you. It's inevitable. If you love long enough, you may find yourself disappointed in yourself. And even though we don't like to admit it, sooner or later, you find yourself disappointed with God. But it's not really the fact of disappointment that would derail us, get us off track. No, it's not the fact of disappointment. That's a part of the human experience. It's not the fact of disappointment that keeps us from fulfilling our destiny. No, it's a part of the human experience. But it really is how we manage the disappointment that comes our way, whether we manage it properly or we mismanage the disappointment. Well, how will I know that I have mismanaged my disappointment? I'm glad you asked that question. Well, you'll know that you've mismanaged your disappointment when there's bitterness. Are you bitter? Bitterness is unresolved anger, and it will poison your mind and poison your heart. You don't know when you've mismanaged your disappointment when there's confusion. At one period, you could see very clearly, but now your vision is blurred. You'll know that you've mismanaged your disappointment when there's distrust. You find it very difficult now to trust people that one time you trusted. In fact, you find it difficult to trust anybody. You'll know that you've mismanaged your disappointment when there's disillusionment. Disillusionment causes one to doubt and no longer believe what one formerly strongly believed. Think about it. At one time, you believed in faith, or you believed in healing, or you believed in the church, or you believed in a word of faith, you believe in this, you believe in prosperity, but now, because of your disappointment, you're not totally sure about this answered prayer thing. You're not so sure about, you were strong, you were very strong about the church, you were very strong about the things of God, but now, you don't have the kind of confidence anymore in things that you had great confidence in the past. That's because you have become disillusioned because of mismanaged disappointment. You'll know that you've mismanaged your disappointment when there's withdrawal. You physically withdraw. Now you don't want to be around others. You withdraw. And then, you know, the interesting thing about some of us, especially in church, we withdraw without leaving. We withdraw psychologically. Oh, yeah, we sit there, we dress up, we go to church, but we've been doing that all along. We don't know how to do anything else but do that, so we do it and we look the same way, but we're really not present anymore. So even though we're physically present, Even though we dress the same way, we come to the same town, but we've withdrawn psychologically, withdrawn mentally. The messages don't quite mean as much as they used to mean. In fact, we think more about getting to lunch than we think about hearing the word now. You've known that you've mismanaged your disappointment when there's depression, ongoing depression. That's a state of low mood and aversion to activity. And the reason why we get depressed and stay depressed, because we keep focusing on our disappointment. Depression. And if we don't manage the depression right, we end up like Judas. The Bible said that Jesus mismanaged his disappointment and went out and hung himself. Every suicide victim was victimized by mismanaged disappointment. Every person who committed suicide came up to a place where all they saw was chaos. And they couldn't see beyond the chaos. And just think about it. Here Judas was just 3 days away. He hung himself, and 3 days later, Jesus was raised from the dead. So things really wasn't as bad as it, because Peter did the same thing. It was just a different flavor. 3 days away, if he could have just held on just 3 more days. You know, when we get the closest to the victory, sometimes it seems the darkest. We get right at the edge of the victory. And when you get to the edge of victory, it seems so dark. That's the way Judas was. He was in chaos, didn't make it to the hope side. Some people, they don't physically kill themselves, but they mismanage their disappointment, and they commit destiny suicide. They kill their destiny. There are people right now, you're not doing what God called you to do. You're not flowing in the direction that God had you flowing in, but you allow somebody or something to get you off track. Don't you remember what God said to you? Did God change his mind? You remember what you wrote down? That thing that you were so excited about? Don't be Judas. Don't destroy your own destiny by mismanaging your disappointment. So when I meditated on Judas, I discovered that Judas made at least five mistakes. He made 5 mistakes. The first mistake was what I call self-help. He came up to a point of disappointment and made the decision to handle his disappointment by himself. See, you're going to either allow God to help you with your disappointment, or you're going to handle it yourself. And Judas decided, I can handle this. That's what we say a lot of times. We get disappointed, and we don't know what to do with it. I'll handle it. Yeah, I'll handle it. So we decide that we're going to handle our own disappointment, and we end up like Judas. Don't be like Judas. The second mistake that Judas made was isolation. If you studied the last few hours of his life, last few days of his life, he had separated himself from the other disciples. He was isolated. He no longer had anyone to give him an objective view, objective perspective. He had nobody to give him guidance, and he had nobody to hold him accountable. He was isolated. If he had continued to hang around with the other disciples, then somebody would have said, that thought you have about taking your life, Judas, that's not God. He'd have had somebody to say, listen, yeah, you betrayed him, but Peter would have said, I denied him too. And maybe he'll help both of us. But see, he didn't have anybody to show him a different perspective. He mismanaged his disappointment and isolated himself from others who could have spoken into his life. Don't be like Judas. The third mistake that Judas made was self-pity. Self-pity. Judas literally, he felt sorry for himself. Like a lot of Christians, they just feel sorry for themselves. I mean, just think about it, you know, should have treated me like that. Think about it, you know, I gave her my best. I gave him the best part of my life. Leave me like that. Not care about me and these children. My granddaddy served in this church, and my daddy served in the church, and I served in the church. Church treat me like this. How could somebody betray me like this? That was my best friend messing around with my wife. That was somebody that I would go to battle for. Judas felt sorry for himself. Sometimes we run up against disappointment and we feel sorry for ourselves. See, the problem with self-pity is that self-pity absolves you of any and all responsibility. Did you hear what I just said? I said self-pity absolves you of any and all responsibility. But I'm not responsible for him taking my wife. But I'm not responsible for them treating me the way they treated me. But I'm just not responsible. I live for God. I'm not responsible. Well, guess what? You may not be responsible or may not have been responsible for your disappointment. Maybe somebody legitimately disappointed you. So God is not holding you responsible for the disappointment. But you are responsible for how you respond to the disappointment. And God is holding you responsible for how you respond. And the problem with self-pity, it keeps you from accepting the responsibility of responding properly. Amen. The fourth mistake that Judas made was he allowed himself to get in despair. Despair. Despair is a complete loss of hope. It's a feeling of not having any chance to resolve the situation. You have to let yourself get in a position of despair, especially if you're a believer. Judas got in a situation where he said, nobody can help me. God can't forgive me. I can't overcome this situation. I've already betrayed him. And he went out and hung himself because of despair. A believer should never be in a position of despair because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Not I was the way, not I will be the way. He said, I am the way. And there will never be a time in your life where there's not a way out of it. Because Jesus said, I am the way. And then finally, Judas made the mistake he made was a quick emotional decision. If he'd have just thought through it for just a little while. My God. If he'd have just took a little time and processed it. But the Bible says he went out and he hung himself. Now, I know this Resurrection Sunday, and that does sound really great for me to be talking about Judas. But the Easter story is not just about hope, it's about chaos. And it's about whether or not you're going to make it through the chaos to the hope sign. And the unfortunate reality is that everyone doesn't make it to the hope sign. Every sad story does not have a happy ending. But we do talk about Judas to warn you that there is hope on the other side, that there is another side of whatever you're experiencing now. There is another side. There is another side. I am going to finish this next week. But I do want to talk a little bit about Jesus, because nobody has ever experienced disappointment like Jesus. And yet he made it to the hope side. He made it through the grave and through death and through hell. He made it to the hope side. Can I share with you three things about Jesus? Number one, the reason Jesus made it to the other side is because Jesus didn't allow his disappointment to turn him away from God. He came up to disappointment, real disappointment, cried out his frustration to God that even you have forsaken me, but he would not allow his disappointment to turn him away from God. Second thing that Jesus did that got him to the other side is Jesus didn't regret the compassion he had shown, the gifts he had given, and the sacrifices that he had made. He never regretted the good. You look at Christians sometimes, and when they come up against that disappointment and things don't turn out the way they thought it should, they start regretting the commitment that they made. And then you can listen in their voice, if they could do it over, I wouldn't have served the way I served. I wouldn't have given the money that I gave. I wouldn't have helped in ministry if I'd have known things were going. So they regret the compassion that they show. They regret the gift that they gave. They regret the sacrifice that they made. And the reason why they regret having given is because they were not giving to God. Anytime you come up to a place where you look back and you regret that you served and you regret that you gave and you regret that, it's because you were not giving to God. You were giving to the church. You were given to people. You were given to the preacher. The preacher let you down. The church let you down. But see, if you had been given to God, you would have never felt regret and disappointment over what you had given and the sacrifice that you had made, because you had made it to God. Amen. Think about it. Watch this. Think about it. Think about this for a moment. You don't see Jesus on the cross regretting nothing he had done. Nothing. Now, watch this. Watch this. You may have never thought about this. Think about it. When at his arrest, the Bible says that Pilate was not willing to kill him. That's what the scripture tells us. In fact, Pilate was trying to find a way to release him. Wasn't it? Doesn't the text tell us that? He gave him a choice, Barabbas or Jesus. And the crowd said, we'll take a robber, we'll take Barabbas. He said, Pilate said, but what am I going to do with you? What am I going to do with Jesus? The people said, crucify him. Now watch this. Out of all the thousands of people that he had healed, all the blind eyes he had opened, the lame who walked, the lepers who were, the dead raised, the demons cast out, all the deliverance, 3.5 years, he brought deliverance to thousands. Yet when Pilate asked the question, not a single healed person said, saving, not a single deliverance. Think about it. Jesus had to be tremendously disappointed that all these multitudes and nobody showed up. And yet, he never regretted the service that he had served because he did it for God. And then finally, a third thing we notice about Jesus is that Jesus held on to the word right in the face of his disappointment. Do anybody here know the last words Jesus said? Huh? It is finished? No, that was not the last words. He said, last words on the cross before he dropped his head and died, he said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Now, just moments earlier, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. The human part was crying out in disappointment, but he held on to the word. You know that he wasn't just saying something when he said, Father, into thy hand. He was quoting Psalms 31, verse 5. He was holding on to the word in spite of what he was feeling, in spite of what he was going to, into your hands. I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you in spite of what I feel, in spite of my, I am trusting you. And the word brought him through hell, brought him through the grave, and brought him out of the chaos to the other side.